Does your computer repair business website need work? Go to techsitebuilder.com and get the official Podnuts method for making a site that works. Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 252. Here with Matt Rainey from, it's ah-computers.com, not computer, right?
Computers, with an S.
ah-computers.com. Matt is our enterprise guy. He's the guy that has business customers rather than residential customers, which is very enlightening to us residential folk because that's mostly what we deal with and talk about. And it's just awesome to have this viewpoint because, you know, getting into having business clients is something that you can expand into. And Matt's going to give us some tips about how to do that. So how's it going with you, Matt? How you been?
Oh, doing well. Keeping busy.
Good. Going on any vacations lately?
Just got back from vacation from Florida.
Good. And where are you calling us from?
Louisiana, Southwest Louisiana.
Got it. All right. Well, before we start, Matt, before we get into it, let me just do a quick ad here. If you guys want to support Podnuts and you don't quite know how, the best way to do it right now is if you shop at Amazon, don't go to Amazon.com. Go to podnuts.com/Amazon. That'll go through the Podnuts link, take you right to Amazon. If you buy anything at Amazon at that point, then Podnuts will get a commission from that. Same thing with Newegg. We have that set up. So if you go to podnuts.com/Newegg before you buy anything at Newegg, go to podnuts.com/Newegg. You will also be supporting Podnuts if you buy anything there. We also have it set up with eBay. It's podnuts.com/eBay. Use any of those three links. Make them your bookmarks. You know, put them up in your browser, your toolbars, and all your stuff there. If you use them every time, that would be awesome. It doesn't cost you a cent to use these, by the way. It's not like you get charged extra from Amazon. It's exactly the same. It just goes through our link. So they reward us for sending them business, and you're supporting Podnuts in the process. So that would be very helpful. Okay, let's get into it here with you, Matt. What do you have to start us off this week?
Well, I think I'd like to talk about more focused topics than I talked about last time. You know, I hear a lot of people want to know where to get business clients. What's the best place to find customers? So I have some tips on that. And then I'd like to talk about first contact with these new clients.
Okay.
So where to get clients? So that's a tough question. Of course, referrals are the best way by far.
Right.
So when you're doing business for businesses, it's best to look at where those businesses go for advice. So you can't market to oil field, which we have down here, retail, all these places take advice from somebody.
Right.
A couple of good places to look for clients is if you can get in with a small accounting firm or even financial advisors or planners. These are people that advise businesses on things they should do.
Wow, that's so smart. You mean instead of going straight to the business, go to a place that the business trusts that will refer you.
Right.
Brilliant.
So you get in with a small accounting firm. I say small because, you know, maybe 5, 10 employees at this accounting firm.
Right.
Now you get to a larger accounting firm, they're going to have their own IT staff.
Hmm.
But a smaller one, even 3 or 4 people, they're going to have a few hundred customers, potential customers for you. So if you can get in with them, start doing their work, even make some kind of deal with them for referrals, the people they do work for, the businesses they do work for, trust them. That's their accountant.
Right.
So they say, oh, look, here, call my guy. You need QuickBooks set up. You need some work done. Here's my guy. A lot of our work comes from accounting firm referrals.
So you target getting accounting firms as customers then?
We have accounting firms as customers.
Okay.
And most of our referrals come from the accounting firms.
How did you find that out? Is it just you had a couple accounting firm customers and you just found that they were referring a lot of people to you? Or did you think that, you know, preliminarily and just go after it at that point?
Well, I knew that accounting firms deal with businesses. I did an internship at an accounting firm, you know, 15 years ago,
right,
as the assistant network administrator.
Okay.
And I could see all the need. You know, if somebody wanted QuickBooks set up or MasterMind set up, they would ask their accountant, how do you set up QuickBooks?
Right.
You know, that's the ones who should know. And they would send me out to go help these customers get up and running. They had no IT staff. They didn't know who to call. So it started with setting QuickBooks. Then you look at their servers or their systems and you say, well, this could be improved. This could be done. And it just leads, you know, one thing leads to another and you're doing work for them.
That's so great. I love that. I love it.
So let them get the customers. You just do work, a partnership with the accounting firm. I mean, that's the trick. You got to find the accounting firm. And I say small ones because they're likely not to have anybody already doing work for them.
Right.
Or if they are, you know, make a sales call, try and pitch your services. Maybe you'll get a better deal, offer them a better rate, whatever it is. Maybe they're not happy with their person, you know.
Two questions pop into my mind now. Number one, how do you strike a deal with an accounting firm? And number two, how much do you pay them as a commission for referring other businesses to you through them?
Well, we actually don't pay any referral fee. You know, they refer us because they know we do good work. You know, I may be at an advantage here, an unfair advantage to some people. My partners, I have two partners. One of the big accounting firms that we do work for is my partner's brother's.
Okay.
So his brothers have an accounting firm. My father has an accounting firm. Now, we also did work for a few other accounting firms. Just from word of mouth, they called us too. But, you know, the accounting firm I worked at before, I actually did work for them. Once I went to this company, we kept doing work for them. Even though they had an IT person, they would still call us for help because he was overworked.
Okay.
Now, so even if you can get a medium accounting firm, you know what? Instead of going to the owner or the whoever the owner or the partner is of the accounting firm,
right,
talk to the IT guy. Call up and set up a meeting with the IT guy if they have one. You can maybe work out some kind of contract deal. He may be overworked. You know, the where I worked before, I got my internship because I went and talked to the IT guy.
Yeah, but is he going to like freak out and think that you're going to steal his job away?
He didn't have a problem with it. He loved it. they had seven offices, and he was by himself. So when I approached him, telling him I would work for, you know, at the time I was working for the company, I wasn't trying to sell him contract rate. I said, look, I can help you out $10 an hour or whatever rate you want to pay me. He went to his boss. He got me the job.
Wow.
So, you know, I went to the IT guy. If the IT guy's overworked, he may be think it's a great idea to get some help. But a small accounting firm may not have anybody working there full time. This place had seven offices and he was by himself.
Gotcha.
It's a sales call. You know, you have to go in there and talk to somebody. Are you happy? And, you know, the accounting firms that we do work for, I hear all the time that people are calling them, trying to get them to switch their IT to their firm. You know, so I know people are doing it, but okay, they're not going anywhere. They're staying with us.
Right. But they're getting calls on the phone about it.
Oh, yeah. They have calls. They have people come by, you know, tell them, who does your IT work? You know, here's my card.
Right.
Here's our website. Here's our rates. You know, and it's funny because most of their rates are way more expensive than ours.
Really?
financial advisors and planners, they're usually one-man shops, one or two-man shops. They don't have a lot of need for an IT person. They probably do everything themselves.
Right.
But if you just could say, look, I'll do your work for free, you know, because they don't have much work. I mean, I know financial planners, we have clients like that. They call us once or twice a year because they can't get online. You know, but they refer people to us.
So you do the work for them for free in exchange for what? How do you word that?
Well, you could, but we don't. If you're trying to get started,
okay,
you might want to throw out a deal. You don't want to throw out too many of those deals.
No.
You know, because you got to, well, if you grow, you don't want to keep track who was free, who was reduced price. You know?
Right, right.
And that's just to get started. Once you get the referrals coming in, it's going to start more and more. I found another place that has a good place to partner with is these places that sell copiers and printers. They know copiers and printers because, believe me, that's enough to know.
Right.
They don't know networking. So you go in and maybe say, look, if you need somebody to set up networking, because they go places and sell a $20,000 copier and they have no IT person. Well, they don't know networking. The person I sold to doesn't have anybody to do networking.
The printer company doesn't know networking, even though their computer or their printers just operate on networking?
No, they do not.
Really? Interesting.
So many places over here, they have no idea. And they don't want to touch your server. They want to come in. They install the printer or the copier. They show you how to use it, but they won't install stuff usually on your server. They want your IT person to do that.
Gotcha.
So, you know, we get a lot of calls. Can you come help them with their networking? So that's one place you can get all referrals from.
Right.
Another one I've seen we've got referrals from is this, the people who sell these new voice over IP phone systems. You have startup companies who go in and sell voice over IP phone systems. Again, it's the same thing. They know the voice over IP phone systems, but they don't know networking. So we get some referrals from a company. We actually bought a voice over IP phone system to my office. And when they came in to install it, it was evident they weren't really up to the level of networking. They needed some help. So when we bought our phone system, we said, look, if you have other phone systems you're selling, we can help do the networking. And now they call us. Whenever they got an install, they call us to do the networking side of it.
Thank God they were bad.
Well, they know the phones. And again, that's a lot to learn, the phones.
Right, right.
And nobody knows everything. So they know the phone part, but they don't know how to do the networking, how to get the static IPs, how to set the VPNs between offices so they can have their phone system work across the VPN. You know, we get most of our referrals come from those kind of clients, accounting firms, financial advisors, the copier place, and the IP phone systems. Now, of course, because a business, let's say they do, I don't know, down here we got a lot of oil field industry. So we got a machine shop. You know, they don't really refer people to us because their customers are other oil field places. They're not asking them for advice on who does computers.
Right.
So you know, some law firms you can get referrals from, but most of their clients are in and out, not long enough to get any kind of advice on anything.
You got to partner up with companies that some are somehow related to what you do.
They got to have a relationship with the company, and you know, accountants are the best. They have a long-term relationship with their customers.
And I mean, if you're the most precious thing to a lot of people is their money. So they're, if they are entrusting accountants with that, then you know that they trust the accountant implicitly, you know?
Right. Yeah. And that's, and you know, I'll go to a client's office, and I've been with this company for 10 years. I'm a partner. I've been a partner for 3-4 years. And I'll go to a company and I'll start talking to them. And I realize at some level, they're all connected to people that we do work for, where they're somehow connected to a county firm. You know, this lady used to work at the county firm, and then she went to go work for this company, and she remembers that we did work for the county firm, so she would recommend to her bosses that we call her, right, or they call us, you know. So it all relates back to each other.
How about the other way around, Matt? Do you guys, when you're doing work for somebody and they say, hey, do you know a good VOIP guy or something like that, do you partner up with any other companies?
And but definitely, the company that we partner with for the voice of our IP phone systems will refer them. You know, I'll give them their card for web design. We have a web design guy that we partner with.
Do you get referral fees on it?
Yes, for the web design and for the phone systems, we do. Cool. For the accountants, we don't. But not many people ask us for accounting help.
Right.
They usually have an accountant. But right, the web design and copiers. You know, we have the same people that we deal with copiers. We refer them if they want to, you know, we sell printers, but if they want a big network scanner copier, we're going to refer them to the guy that does that.
That's great.
Now, once you get these clients, and of course, you have to know how to support them, which will be maybe discussed on later shows. But when they do refer you to somebody, you're going to get a call, and it's one of two kind of calls normally. The first kind is something's down right now, and they want you to fix it right now.
Right.
The second kind is we're looking to switch our IT people to you. You know, I'd like to talk to you about it. Well, the first type, the one that wants you right away because something's down.
Right.
You know, you approach them differently than the person who just wants to switch to you because they have an immediate need. Something's broken.
Sure.
But you're at a disadvantage. Something's down right away too. So you have to go into their system. I like to go on site for the first contact of any client, just so that you can meet them. You get a feel for how they are. Are they friendly? You know, they look organized. So you go on site, you fix that one problem, whatever it is. But you want to always set up another appointment after that to come back and discuss their needs.
Okay.
If you can. See, the problem with the people who call when there's a problem,
yeah,
normally don't want to spend money on computer stuff because they waited till something broke before they called you.
Is that why you said it put you at a disadvantage?
Yeah, because they usually just want to spend the money. I just want to fix it and not worry about anything else and get until it breaks.
Right.
And that puts you in a bad position because in a just a break fix kind of relationship, you can never get things running like you want to get them running. If they call because they can't get on the internet, okay, well, this is wrong. We'll fix this.
Right.
They might call 2 months later. We can't get on the internet again. Whatever you did didn't work. Well, right. two months later. It could be a completely different issue of why they can't go on the internet.
Right.
They just know that they called you 2 months ago and now it doesn't work again.
Right.
You know, for those kind of clients, I tell them if I try to set up a meeting first and they don't want to, well, we'll do it later. And they never call back. I don't bug them. If they call me a second time with an issue, I'll go out and fix it. Then I'll say, look, you know, it's great if y'all want to use us for your computer work, but in order for things to work more smoothly for you, I'd like to set up an appointment, discuss your needs, evaluate your systems, and go from there.
What kind of response do you normally get with that?
Usually they say they want to meet. They should say, that's fine. We'll go ahead and do the meeting. But they usually don't want to spend money. They usually just rather go along and fix things as they break, not be proactive.
Right.
And sometimes I've had to drop clients because they don't want to implement anything. And it makes us look bad that things keep breaking and we're always out there. And I tell them, that's not the way we work. We work, we get you fixed up. Once you're fixed up, your administration costs are going to go way down to what you might be accustomed to spending $3,000 a year on this break fix mentality. But if we can get in and get things situated and get things running correctly, you might go to $1,000 a year.
Well, these guys that don't want to spend money, they can't see that, or?
No, they can't. They see what's out of their pocket right now.
Okay.
So, you know, in the second type, the ones that call you want to set up a meeting, they're open. They know that technology is important in their business and what it can do for you if and when it works and how bad it can be when it doesn't work.
So how do you handle one of those calls?
Well, those are easy. We set up an appointment. We say, look, we want to come meet with you. We'll discuss your needs. Pretty much the same thing you tell the customer who wants to just fix things when they break.
Right.
So once you have that meeting, either kind of customer, and you can't make assumptions. Sometimes they're open-minded. Sometimes people want to meet with you in advance are the cheap ones. I say cheap, but, you know, have a more restricted budget for their IT.
Right.
I don't always work cheap.
No, I got you. Don't worry about it. They're cheap.
So when you have the meeting, you show up at the meeting. And, you know, one important thing for this meeting, it's like an interview. It's just like an interview. They're interviewing you to see if they want you to do their work.
Right.
And you're actually interviewing them to see if you want to do their work.
Right.
You may not want to do their work. You know, we had a meeting with a law firm. And just in discussions with them, they mentioned their last IT people and that they were actually talking about suing them because they think they should have done a better job. And that just put a bad taste in our mouth. We actually didn't do work for them.
Really?
Just because of the way they were talking. You know, if hard drive crashes, they might think it's your fault and want to sue you for it.
Right, right.
So, I mean, of course, we're fully insured, but that's a pain you don't want.
Yeah, I mean, it also depends on the context of how they're saying it. I mean, these guys might have been so terrible that they should have been sued, you know, and these the people you're talking with here at the meeting are in the right for saying that, and maybe they're not just nuts or paranoid. Oh, but
well, you know, and that's possible in some cases. We looked at their network, and we saw how it was set up, and it looked set up pretty good. We didn't see no problems with it.
Yeah, so it's just they were crazy.
Yeah, they were just kind of over-demanding.
Right.
So you know, I can understand if it was in some situations we come in, it's pretty bad, but they actually were running pretty good. But when you make these meetings, you want to, first of all, it's a couple things. Let them do most of the talking.
Okay.
I have some questions that I usually ask them.
Right.
I let them talk.
Why?
Well, they're gonna reveal more. You know, they may reveal things they don't even know are problems. You know, so some of the questions I'll ask them are, first, what are the current problems that you're having with the server or the network? What kind of issues do you have on a day-to-day basis?
Mm-hmm.
And at first they may say, no, everything's running fine, you know. Nothing's really a problem. But then in just talking to them, like I might ask them, what programs do you use? QuickBooks, Mastodon, Peachtree, any special line of business applications? You know, and while they're telling me what they use, they may say, yeah, you know, Mastodon keeps locking up every day.
Hmm.
And then I'll say, so is that normal behavior? Or, you know, that shouldn't happen. Are y'all just used to that? Well, yeah, it's always done it. You know, we just close and reopen it. Well, that's an issue.
Yeah, right.
Even though they just said earlier that there's really no issues.
Right.
So you let, the more they talk, the more they'll reveal.
Good
what's
point.
What's going on.
Okay.
So, you know, what are the current problems? What programs do you use? You know, we ask them, is there anything that you want to do that you currently can't do? You know, what do you want? You know, remote access, you know, email, checking email easily on the road. I mean, what were things that you like to do that you can't do? And that gets them going for a little while too. And if they say, well, we don't really know, well, then you might be able to make suggestions later on,
right,
of what they can do. But, and also ask them, how do you work? You know, are all your people in-house here? Do you have salespeople driving on the road?
Right.
Do you have some people working from home? Do you have multiple offices? You know, how are they working? How are they connecting? Do they have problems connecting? Because, you know, they may say no problems in the first question. Oh, yeah, well, our remote offices, they keep dropping off every couple of days. They can't connect. Well, okay. How are they connecting?
Hmm.
VPNs, terminal servers, you know.
Right.
You know, another question I'll ask is, do you have backup? Or do you have a backup? Are you backing up?
Hmm.
They may not even realize they're supposed to be backing up. And a lot of places really either think they have one, and it's not really backing up. If they say, yes, we back up, I'll say, well, okay, how do you know you're backing up? Do you get reports? How do you check your backups? Well, I'm supposed to get an email. Okay, what's your last email? Let me check. And they'll check, it was like 3 months ago. No. So it just kind of reveals problems to them that they may not know they're having. If they don't get any kind of notification, well, there's a point where I'd say, let's go check on the server. And then we'll go through some things.
And what do you look for? Well, I mean, we don't have to get too technical, but.
Yeah, overall, well, the first thing I do is I don't touch the server before it's rebooted. I'll say, go ahead and log in, and let's get everybody out, and let's reboot the server.
How come you do that?
You don't know what problems will arise when a server is rebooted. It may be normal for the computer to blue screen at startup, and you got to restart it 3 times before it comes up.
Right.
They may have RAID arrays that are off, you know, degraded, and when it's rebooting, you can see in the BIOS that the drive array is degraded.
Okay, so you watch it from BIOS. You even watch it going through the post the whole process.
Yeah, because I don't want to change anything on their server.
Right.
And then reboot it, and then something happened. Okay, was that normal? Did I do that, or
right,
was that an existing condition?
Right.
So I always reboot the servers before I do anything. Always. You know, I rebooted one server, and I saved blue screen because it kept blue screening, and the previous guy just kept rebooting and didn't want to fix the problem. I've seen all kinds of servers with degraded RAID arrays, hard drives out, and they didn't load the RAID software, so they had no reporting. They turned the alarms off, you know, because it was beeping really loud and it was annoying. Well, so I showed them this thing. If it's rebooting, I see a problem with it's rebooting, I point it out. Do you realize you have a degraded array? Well, what does that mean? That means you have a hard drive out. Oh, we didn't know. You know, I have them sit there with me while I'm rebooting. Now, if it reboots, fine, great, good. Let's log in. You know, I don't want the password. Just go ahead and log in.
Right.
Check the event logs. We'll see what you got for a backup. Check the free hard drive space, used hard drive space, you know, event logs, just a general overview of what's going on with the server. Normally, you're going to find some problems.
Okay.
Another thing I'll ask the people, and a lot of people don't ask this, is who was doing the IT work before I got here? Or before you called me, who has been doing your work up to this point? You know, don't be afraid to ask that. That's important. If they say, oh, well, you know, Bob in accounting, he's been doing it. Okay, well, let's get Bob in here then, because I want to talk to Bob. You know, what's his qualifications to work in the server? You know, he may be the one, he may not even want to do it. He may have one day said, oh, I know how to reboot a computer. And to other people, that's magic. Oh, he rebooted my computer. He must know everything about computers.
Oh, no. He probably said something like, oh, I know how to fix this on offer a blue screen. And his solution was rebooting the computer.
Yeah. And I've seen it both ways. I've seen it where one guy, he says, well, they think I know computers. I don't know computers.
Really?
And then another guy will say, yeah, I know what I'm doing. And I'll ask him, well, what about this? What about this? Well, I'm not really sure.
Okay. Right.
So if it's somebody who's there, still working there, and if he's the kind of person who wants to work on the server, I'll let him talk, and then I'll say, okay, thank you. And then I'll get with my person I've been meeting with saying, it's our policy. Things work better if we don't have people on site who don't know, who aren't trained to work on computers, if he doesn't have the passwords and if he doesn't touch the server anymore.
Do the clients get kind of like, I don't know, like reserved when you do that? Like, we want to have somebody that knows the passwords and stuff, or
I don't want him to have the password. I'll give the owners manage the password.
Right. Okay. Okay.
You know, I always have them the password. They have the password. It's written down in their files for them to have. But I prefer them not to hand it out to people.
Right. No, I guess they wouldn't get upset. That's why they're talking to you, because they don't want the other guy to do it anymore.
Right. Either they don't want him or he quit. You know, I found, well, yeah, he quit a month ago. Okay. Do y'all have the password? No. We can call him and try and get it. Okay. You know, did he leave on good terms? Was he fired? Well, it was kind of a bad breakup. Okay, and he has your admin password.
Jeez.
I mean, you know, you have accounts not disabled. He's still checking mail. He's still doing this. He's still getting in. You know, if it's somebody who's not there anymore, you know, of course, you have to change all the passwords, disable his account, you know, that kind of stuff.
You're walking into a bird's nest in a lot of these cases, I could just imagine.
Oh, a lot of you are. You know, one of the first things we'll do, and if it's another firm doing the IT work, well, you know, we ask them, why are they not doing your work anymore? I want to hear what they say. Hmm. You know, well, they're a bunch of idiots. They say they don't know what they were doing. Well, then I can tell by how the server set up if that's true or not.
Right. And then you can determine whether this is a good client to take on or not.
Yeah. So then I've gone to a place where things were perfectly fine, but they were convinced that they didn't know what they were doing.
Really?
You know, and I tell them, I don't really see any problems with the server. You know, are you having any other issues? And they may know, but they were convinced that he didn't know what he was doing.
Or they wanted to get rid of him for one reason or another.
Right, and maybe they weren't just being honest.
Right.
So we have to be leery of some people. That doesn't happen often. Normally things are a mess. You know, everybody has domain admin rights. There's no backup. You know, the server's 10 years old and they wonder why it's slow. That kind of stuff.
Right.
So, you know, and also, on this first meeting, you can't bill for this meeting. It's like an interview. You can't, even if they do want you to do your work, you don't go to an interview and say, okay, I was here for an hour, you owe me $85.
No, I don't see why you would bill for that either. That's not a good tactic.
So you have to make sure you don't do any real work.
Right, right.
At this meeting.
Okay.
This is an information gathering mission, as it were.
Right.
No.
But you do have to demonstrate competence somehow.
Right. You got to look it over. And, you know, I'll look it over. I'll look at the server. I'll go look in the wiring closet and see if that's a mess. And a lot of times you walk in the wiring closet, it looks ridiculous.
Oh man, this is like unflattering.
Bird's nest, nothing's labeled.
Yeah. I hate wires. Oh, I hate, like, what do they call it? Spaghetti, wire spaghetti or whatever. It's like,
and that's a lot of times what you have.
Yeah.
And like, oh my God. You know, I'll point out to them, this could be straightened up. And as they say, why? It works. Yes, it works. But one, if you have this person not able to get online, where is his cable connection?
Right.
Well, it's in here somewhere. Well, yeah, you know, you've got 80 cables in here, you know. We need to map these out, re-terminate, get a patch panel, make it leader. It's going to save you money later on. It, you know, if you have one problem with one computer not connecting, you're going to waste more time trying to trace that cable than you can just terminate it all and test it and label it.
Sure. I think you said the magic word by it's going to save you money.
Right. You know, of course, we have equipment. You know, we have a Fluke, a DSP Fluke, digital signal processor that can test and certify cables. Not everybody has those. But if you're supporting businesses, it's a nice thing to have.
How much do they run?
You know, anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000.
You said it's a Fluke?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, because a lot of people, it's hard to rule out cabling issues. You know, you can get a connection with a cable one time, but if there's noise in the line, it may be intermittent.
Hmm.
The cable's real long.
Right.
You might have intermittent problems. We can go connect end to end, turn it on. We get a result in 20 seconds, how long the cable is, how much noise on the line. If you have any open pins and it tells you where they are, it'll tell you 100 feet in. It'll tell you at which end that it's at, you know, so it saves a lot of time.
So it's a $10,000 cable tester.
Basically.
Wow. That's a big investment.
It is a big investment. And, you know, we didn't get one for a while, but once we got it, we're able to do a lot more stuff with it.
Right. Yeah. I can see that investing in that down the line. Hey, it's like, it'll save you money in the long run.
You know, we wire whole buildings. And then we can test and certify the whole building.
Right. Well, that's,
print out reports, say, here you go, here's your reports. Everything's tested right. Everything works as of right now.
Hmm.
You know, we can prove, here's your report for this drop.
That's pretty cool.
So, and a lot of times, if you don't have that report, we've had contractors come in and cut all kind of cables after we certified. Because they were trying to do something, they didn't like this cable there, so they cut it. And, you know, it depends on the situation. I may go return, you know, if we got to run a whole line again, they're going to have to pay for that. If I can just re-terminate it, I might not charge, but at least I can show them that the cable was working. And after we certified it, somebody else did something else.
Right.
And just the day-to-day stuff, you know, intermittent problem, I'll just test the cable. If it's, you know, Mass 90's locking up, you know, let me test your cable.
Right.
You might be in a bad port. You might be a bad line, short somewhere. It just saves so much time to know the cable's good.
Huh.
So if I see a big cable mess, I'll put that down. And when after the first meeting, you know, I know the server's okay, or if it's not okay, I'll ask them, or I'll tell them, we need to inventory all your computers and the servers. And there's a few tools that do that. You know, an easy one is Belarc, BELARC.com.
Okay.
You know, there's a paid version and a free version. So it's up to you if you want to pay for it or if you want to just have your clients run it on their computer and give you the report.
What does it do? It just analyzes everything?
It generates a report on all the hardware, all the software, security patches, if they're up to date or not, as of the date you run the report. And actually, the newer version gives you a bunch of networking features, you know, what's your router address, you know, DHCP server address, a lot of stuff that you can use.
Hmm.
So,
how much does that run? It's a Belarc Advisor, right? Is that what it's called?
Belarc Advisor, yeah. There's a free version and there's a company version. The company version is, I don't know the latest pricing. A lot of companies, when you tell them the price and they don't like it, then I don't remember what it was. A lot of them just... A lot of them just choose to use a free one. I don't really care how they give me the report. It's up to them if they want to just run it free and then give it to me. I just tell them I need the report to be able to recommend something to you.
Right.
So if you get that on all the workstations and all the servers, you can see from that a good report of what operating system, what service pack, do they have security patches, how much RAM is in each slot. It'll break it down by slot, what's in there. Do it on the servers too. You know, if they're saying they're slow, you know, we can't, we're not magicians.
Right.
If they're running an 8-year-old computer with 250 megabytes of RAM, and they're trying to run QuickBooks 2010,
right,
you know, you can't sugarcoat it. It's slow. It's slow because it's old.
And because it's Intuit, and because it's bloated. But well, right. That's besides the point.
And I can't fix it, you know.
Right.
I can't, you know. My recommendation is, if that's what I see, you need new computers.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes they don't want new computers. And I tell them, that's fine. That's your choice. But I'm not going to be able to magically make this faster. So don't expect any performance issues of anything that we do. No performance increase.
Right.
You know, they may expect, even if you tell them that, they may say, look, our computers are still slow after everything you've done. You know, I might test the cables to make sure there's no cable problem. You know, I found people still running on Cat 3.
Really?
You know, and I tell them, this, we need to redo the cabling. I mean, there's no easy way around it.
Right, right.
You know, I recommend we get on Cat 6. We can certify you on a gigabit. You may not have gigabit cards.
But you will eventually.
You will. And you can't keep running on this Cat 3 stuff. You know, I found places where the previous people, for best performance, just set it to 10 megabit half duplex on their network cards because it worked best on their Cat 3 cabling, you know. But even when these things are pointed out, either they're going to do it or they're not. If they don't want to do it, I just make it clear. You're not going to see any performance. I can test the cables. I can repunch them down, make it a little bit neater, so troubleshooting is easier. You know, I can fix the issues with your server. Why, you know, you're not going to errors in the event log, that kind of stuff. But you're still going to run the same. Hmm. And nowadays, you're only going to see that normally if they're running just like Word and Excel. If they have any kind of line of business applications, they have to upgrade their computers because they can't run Windows 2000 on QuickBooks 2010.
Okay.
Can't do it. It's not supported. So you don't have it in a small place, mom and pop. And a mom and pop's one or two computers. You know, you can generally push them to buy one or two computers.
Right.
Another thing I look is where their email is. You have Exchange Server, you have Pop Mail. You know, what is your server? You know, I've seen places where they call the service just an old Dell Optiplex running Windows 2000. That's their server.
Right. And what is it? Just serve up files, you mean?
Right. And that may be fine for some people. But normally, if they're calling because they have problems, it's not working good.
Right.
So, you know, we see what they're doing. If they're running a certain line of business applications, I'll say, look, can you call your rep? I want to find out what the hardware and software recommendations are to run this software. So I can compare that with what they have. You know, if it doesn't meet it, I can say, well, according to them, it doesn't meet, your computer does not meet the specs. Hmm. So, you know, according to them, not me, according to them,
right,
you need a new computer. You know, the hard drives are full, not, you know, we see so many different things.
Sure you do.
You want to get the first meeting overall, no work.
Gotcha.
Reboot the server if you can, because you want to know if it's good or bad so you can know where to go from there.
Okay.
You know, if it blue screens, that's, you need to know that so you can make more recommendations.
Right.
But take all, when they get the reports for me for the workstation, the server, I look at the closet, I'll make a recommendation of what I think they need. And that can vary widely, which maybe we'll have to discuss later, but that can be almost anything to you're good to this is a nightmare.
Right. I think the advisors are good. Bellark advisors are a great thing to run on. So you run it on every workstation.
I have them run it. Normally I have them run it because,
right,
you know, and I'll tell them, you know, we'll come get the reports, but again, that's a separate appointment and that's billable.
Gotcha.
So the first one overall is not billable. We'll say, look, this is what we need. You can get it to us, or we can set up an appointment where I can have my guys come do it. You know, at this first meeting, we also discuss rates, our working hours. I'll ask them for a central point of contact. You know, we talked about that last time where I don't want 20 people calling me because the internet's down.
Right.
I want them calling their one point of contact. They call me.
Right.
I'll get that contact, give them my card, get a card from them. I make sure that they know 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. Here's our rate. Hmm. You know, If it's a medium sized company to a large company, I'll let them know about our service agreement and what we can do with that, and what that includes and what it does not include. And once all that's done, they'll usually say, "Great, we'll get the reports that you want, and then we'll go from there." Or they'll say, "Okay, we'll get back to you," and they may or may not.
Right.
You know, they may say, "Well, we don't want to spend any more money. We were just hoping that you would come tell us everything is fine."
Oh man,
you know,
that's funny.
And that happens. Sometimes you go on these meetings, you might be there for 2 or 3 hours, and you get nothing from it.
Yeah, but I'd say, you know, it's something you have to do.
It doesn't happen often, especially if you referred. Because remember, if you get a referral from somebody, they know you do work for this person and they trust you enough to refer you. So that's a point in your favor.
Right.
So they're more inclined to go with what you say.
Hmm.
Now, sometimes, again, you don't want the work. You know, I've seen places that were so bad off. One place I did more than I should have, because there was a relative that worked at the place. She really wanted me to do the work for them. So, but she didn't want to spend, the owner didn't want to spend any money. She was, and I said, and I was kind of leery. I said, "Well, you know, if she doesn't want me to do work," I told my relative, "that's fine. I don't, you know, when she, if she ever changed her mind, have her call me."
Right.
I don't want the relative to call. I said, "Have her call me."
Right.
I want to talk to her. She owns the business. I want her to call me.
Right.
But her computer went down one day, and the guy that was doing the work came in and said, "Your computer's out, your motherboard's out." And he was there for what I was told 5 minutes and charged him $120 to tell him that.
Wow.
So my relative called me and said, "Can you look at it?" I said, "Okay." Anyway, I said, "I'm going to do this once." I went out, got the computer. I said, "What did he do when he got here? Did he change any parts? Did he do anything?" "No, he turned it on and didn't boot, so he said it was the motherboard." I said, "He didn't open it? He didn't change parts?" "No, nothing." I said, "And did he bill you for this?" "Yes, it was $120, whatever his hourly rate was." I said, "Okay, I'll take the computer. I'll look at it for free." I said, if you need parts, you're going to pay for the parts."
Right.
My relative said, "Fine," because the owner wasn't there.
Why did you do it for free?
Well, I was hoping to show her that the guy who she was paying didn't know what he was doing.
Okay.
And he didn't know what he was doing, because I could tell from that setup it was one of those places that was ridiculous.
Right.
All their problems are caused, could be easily fixed if she just would get somebody who knew what they were doing.
Right, right.
So, and I knew from looking at it, it was a power supply. I go back to my shop, I put in a power supply, it boots up fine, I bring it back out, literally an hour later, "Here's your computer." I had them turn it on, boot up, use it, and they were amazed. And they said, "How much?" I said, "It's a used power supply, $35. "No labor?" I said, "No." I said, "I would do it for free, $35. And you know what? She still called the other guy back.
Oh, man.
But I did hear this past week while I was on vacation from my relative that she's sick of everything going wrong and that I should expect a call this week.
Okay, good. I guess you did everything you could. I thought that was going to have a happy ending, and I didn't at first, but then you kind of, okay, there's hope.
Well, the whole point was to show her that that person did not know what he was talking about and that he was ripping them off.
Right.
I mean, $120 for 5 minutes to tell them the motherboard was bad. I mean,
it's lazy. It's lazy.
You know, if that would have been me, if that was my client, and I told them motherboard's bad, I'm not even, if I was there for 5 minutes, I probably wouldn't even charge them. Well, actually, I wouldn't have told them that, so I can't really say that.
Right, you wouldn't have just turned it on and say it's dead.
I don't just make assumptions and not change parts or test anything.
But good stuff so far. Do you have more you want to do on this episode, or do you want to save it up?
Well, we can. Let me look at my notes here. You know,
because I have emails too and a voicemail.
Okay. Yeah, just important things. And one last thing: don't make assumptions about the clients.
Okay.
They may say, "We don't want to spend any money in the meeting," but then make your recommendations on what they need.
Right.
I mean, don't oversell. Don't think, "Well, you need a Cisco router because you're a business." Okay. Small businesses do not need Cisco routers. You know, they don't need all these things that you see on TV. They may not, just because VPNs exist, they don't need a VPN unless they need a VPN.
Right. Unless they actually do.
You don't need to put in all this stuff that they don't need. You need to see how they work, what they do, what they're trying to do, and make your recommendation based on that, not based on, we don't want to spend any money. Well, I'm going to recommend what you need.
Right. That's definitely the best way to do it. That might even be less than what they think, because when they say we don't want to spend any money, they might be thinking what they see on the commercials is what they need.
Right. So if you recommend what they need, if they want to do it or not, that, you know, maybe go from there. But don't go overboard. Don't give them something they don't need. Give them what they need, because that's going to work the best. And if it works good, you look good.
Right.
And if you look good, you'll get more referrals. Don't try and cater to their needs of not spending any money and keep doing Band-Aids and minor fixes, because things are going to go wrong. Things are going to keep breaking, and you're going to be out there constantly, and you're going to look like you don't know what you're doing.
Right. Good point.
We've dropped clients who refuse to fix things, and we tell them, we cannot keep, you know, it's not fair to you for us to keep coming out here to do Band-Aids. You know, you're spending five times what you should be spending if you just let us fix it. And, you know, in the end, we say, it's not working out. You know, yes, we like billing you, but we don't like the service we're providing because you're not allowing us to do what needs to be done.
Right.
You know, and sometimes at that point, sometimes they change their mind. They'll do it.
Hmm.
And then once we do it, they're so happy. They say, we should have done this years ago.
Huh.
And sometimes they don't, and that's fine. You know, you can...
I think it's human nature.
If you have any questions about your new IT calls, any questions, we'll be happy to answer questions. Here's your passwords.
Right.
You know, here's everything you need. You know, good luck. But you got to do what works for them, right, and what works for you, because you want them to work well. If they're not going to do things for them to work correctly, you just don't want to be a part of it, because you're going to look bad.
That's interesting. That's an interesting point. So you might lose a customer, but it might help your reputation.
Exactly. And one bad reputation from one person can do a lot of damage.
Right. Good.
Especially when you're trying to build a business by referrals.
Totally. All right, man. It's good stuff. Let me read a couple emails. You want to hang on the line?
Sure.
Okay. We got an email here from Ronnie. He says, hey, Steve, I think I read this. Oh, God. Sorry, guys. Yes, I'm unprepared again, it looks like. Okay. Well, let me just go over this. He had a laptop stolen. It was his dad's laptop, and he was looking for laptop tracking software. Now, I did check on this. I told him to post it in the Podnuts forums. He was looking for something free, and he did post it in the forums. So if anybody is looking for good, free laptop tracking software, it's funny. He wrote me this email, but he also had a good find in here. It's called adiona.cs.washington.edu. Adiona, adiona.cs.washington.eu. Check it out. It's free, open source, I believe, laptop tracking software. So I just forgot to X that one out of the list. So, okay, next email. Well, first of all, do you know of any laptop tracking software, Matt?
No, okay. Other than that, LoJack, I think it is.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, there's LoJack, and I think it's good, but it has a cost. So if you're looking for free, LoJack's not for you, but LoJack does exist for laptops. Okay, this is from Ben. He said, hey, Steve, I'm not much of a repair tech as you and the other listeners are, so sorry if this is a bit of an obvious question. Every now and then I get laptops from small businesses who want me to part them out and sell them on eBay. They usually have bad motherboards or jacks. Over time, I've built up a large collection of batteries that I now want to sell. The problem that I'm running into is since I don't have the laptops they belong in anymore, I'm unable to test them. At the moment, I see no other option than to put in the listing that they are untested and might not work. This seems a bit of a shame since, according to the previous users of laptops, most of them still work for 1 to 1.5 hours. And after all, who's going to want to buy a battery from me when I say in the description that it might be completely dead? I know that I won't be able to sell them for anything near the price of a new one, but I'm sure I could sell them for slightly more if I could confirm that they do indeed last for around 1.5 hours or so. I was wondering if you or any of your listeners know of a device that will let me test these batteries without having to put them into a computer so that I can find out how long they will last for. I've seen some products from Chinese companies that claim to be able to fix laptop batteries, but ever since a battery that I bought from China started making a very loud hissing noise as soon as I powered the laptop on, I've tried my utmost to stay away from those sellers in China or other countries that don't look overly trustworthy. Any advice at all would be excellent. I've listened to your podcast for around a year now, and I don't know how one person can produce so many shows that have so much great content in them. Keep it up. Oh, that was nice, Ben. Let's see. Oh, this will be a little plug for Nuts at Night. He says, also, on the last Nuts at Night, could you ask Steve D to tell us some stories about when he was a private investigator? On the last episode, he was talking about how he carried a radio because sometimes things get, quote, hairy. This sounded really interesting, but next thing I know, he got sidetracked and started talking about how he likes to watch car accidents. Cheers. That's from Ben. I did read that because, Steve's not in the chat room anymore, but he was in there earlier. That's for Nuts at Night, the last part. The first part about laptop batteries, this is a tough one. See, you might be able to get some kind of device that will tell you whether the battery is holding a charge, but the only way that I know of to test how long these things are going to last is to use them in the laptops, because you don't know what kind of load is going to be put on these batteries. So the laptop that they're going to put it in is the only true method of testing the load that and seeing how long these things are going to last for. You know, if these are like older laptops and you have a ton of these batteries, I'll tell you what, it would be worth your while to pick up the model of laptop that the battery fits, and you use it as a test computer to test all your batteries, sell off all the batteries, and then sell off the laptop. You know, buy a laptop on eBay or look on Craigslist. You might be able to find a model. I'm guessing these are probably like Dell D600s or old ThinkPads or something like that. So you could definitely get a laptop cheap that you could test the batteries on. Hopefully they are for pretty much the same laptops. You don't have to go buying a laptop for everything. That's my best advice. I don't know of any magic cable tester or battery tester that will allow you to test how long these things are going to last. Latfi in the chat room says it'll involve having to take apart the battery, then discharge them manually with hot wiring. It's just too messy. Let's see. No, nothing else. No other advice in the chat room there. One person says to lot them out. Yeah, Matt.
Hey, you know, a lot of those, if you know they're dead, and even those old, if you have battery backups with that aren't good anymore, all those batteries, there's places that buy that stuff. And we have so many old battery backups and old laptop batteries. We just take them to this place that buys batteries, and we get for each lot a few hundred dollars.
Wow. How many batteries are in the lot?
It might be 40 or 50. I mean, and most of them are the battery backup batteries are dead. But
people, you get a couple hundred dollars.
Yeah, they pay a lot of money for that stuff. Especially, you know, even just a big one that's from a 1500, those things go for... I mean, I don't know it specific, but I know when we bring every old one we get, we just put in this box, and we have enough. We bring it over there, and we get a few hundred dollars.
Now those batteries in the APCs there, they're different types. They're big batteries, aren't they? Heavy ones.
Some of them
like lantern size batteries, or
yeah, some of them are small. I think the 350 or 550s.
Okay,
some of those aren't that big, but they go by weight. So laptop batteries may not get as much, but if you have old battery backups with dead batteries, save those batteries.
Good tip. I mean, if it's going to be worth it for you, Ben, that might be something that you could do. Definitely check into that. Any advice, Matt, on a company or how we could find a company that'll buy that stuff?
No, I have to look and see where we bring them. I forget the name of the local place, but I'm fairly sure every city would have a couple of these places.
Hmm. Yeah, check it out. Like a recycling type of place or something like that. Also, post that in the PodNuts forums. I think you said you already did, Ben, in the email. But anybody who's thinking about asking a question to the show, ask the show, definitely, because it gives us good content to talk about. Also, post it in the PodNuts forums where people are smarter than I am and can answer the questions better. But this next one's from Tina. She says, I took apart a Dell Vostro to get to the CD-ROM, and in the process, I had to unplug the WLAN card, the wireless LAN card, and disconnect the antenna wires. I replaced the card and reconnected the antenna wires. I now get a message upon startup that says there's a problem and to check the cables. It also says media test failure. I checked the cables and made sure they were secure, but still no change. Is there an extra white wire that was not plugged into anything when I disconnected the card? Not sure what that is for. Any suggestions? Thanks in advance for your time. That's from Tina. Tina, it doesn't sound like the antenna wires would cause that error message. Not even close. You could keep them unplugged and you won't get any errors. It would just be a crappy reception on that wireless card. I've gotten media test failure errors because the CD-ROM is bad. And they might be talking about the cable from the CD-ROM to the motherboard, which isn't necessarily a cable. It's just a connector, but the BIOS might not know that. So it sounds like the errors you're getting are because of the CD-ROM and not the wireless card. But regardless, I would reseat the wireless card and just hook up the antennas. It doesn't even matter if you put the black to the gray and the gray to the black. And I'm not sure why you had an extra white one in there. Might be a blue. Usually the Bluetooth wires are blue, but it might be something in there. So in case you do get a Bluetooth card, you could hook up a Bluetooth antenna for that. So that should be what's causing the problem. I mean, you could even pull out the CD drive and you might not get that error anymore. Or it could be a bad connector on the motherboard to the CD drive. But I'm pretty sure media test failure, because you got your media is your hard drive and your CD drive. It's either a hard drive or CD drive problem that's going on. Or your motherboard could be kind of wonky, and the controllers for the hard drive and the controller for the CD drive that's actually on the motherboard is messed up. So that's my best suggestion. You got anything to add on that one, Matt?
Well, I've seen errors similar to that media test failure where it's trying to boot from the LAN, trying to check the LAN cable for media to boot from.
Oh, that's right. That's a good point. Now, it's never the wireless, though. On that.
I wouldn't think it'd be the wireless on that. Something's not being detected. Some boot device is not being detected. And I've seen LAN, boot to LAN enabled that gives that sometimes.
Oh, good one. Yeah, that's right. Man, I'm rusty. I should have known that. That's great advice. Tina, check the boot order, the boot device order, and you might be able to get past that error by just making it not boot to LAN. Good one. Okay. Chris says, just a quick note regarding computer repair pricing. I'm here in Austin, Texas. Computer repair pricing hovers around $50. Wow. This is both for in-shop and in-home service. I see advertised on Craigslist. A local chain, Discount Electronics, advertises $49 repairs. I also see cleanup and virus removal ads for $25 to $30. Wow, this makes my stomach get a little wheezy just reading this. One ad even lists a $25 flat rate for any repair. I think there are a lot of people out of work right now, and Austin is a city with tech-oriented employers such as Dell, HP, Westinghouse, etc. Every time I look, I see what seems to be people advertising services, which are obviously driving down prices. Just thought I would provide this feedback. Next time I buy from Newegg, Amazon, or eBay, I will use your referral link. Thanks. That's from Chris. Chris, thanks for using that link, by the way. As far as the price for those repairs, it's sickening. It's so sickening. Man, I guess if there's a lot of layoffs in a city that employs that houses Dell, HP, and Westinghouse, you're going to have a lot of techs floating out there in the field just trying to buy burgers at McDonald's. I mean, what's going on with that?
That's got to be kids with no overhead, no cost. Yeah. That can't be adults with responsibilities and families.
Yeah, probably the best thing to do, Chris, is call up the people that are advertising that and see who is advertising that low. It probably is kids, and then in that case, you might not have too much to worry about. That's too low. You can't charge that low, and you're going to probably get what you pay for when you take them up on those services. So,
yep.
Look into it, see what's going on with that. That's a little too fishy. Great feedback, though. I mean, we did have legitimately some. Guests on Podnuts Daily that in their areas the computer repair rates are just so low. But okay, let's see. We got John here saying, Steve, I bought your videos and I'm excited about fixing my laptop. I just have one question. If I'm running Vista on my laptop and I replace the motherboard, will I have to do anything with the Windows installation, like a reinstall or reconfigure? How about the BIOS? That's from John. John, if you're replacing a computer with the exact same motherboard, you should not have to do anything. Just unless the BIOS is set up to boot from a strange location, you should just plug it in, boot it up, everything will work fine. It's the same motherboard, the software will recognize it, you'll be good to go. No worries there. But, it's like Matt said earlier for the other email, the only thing that could be different is the boot. The BIOS, some settings in the BIOS, but I don't think you'll have a problem with that. Okay, this is from Peter. He says, I heard last night's show and heard you mention about tracking software for laptops. Here's the link I found for one. It's called preyproject.com, P-R-E-Y project.com. There is another website, but so far they only do software for the iPhone and the iPad, but the laptops and netbooks is the pipeline here is the Gosh, Peter. There's another website, but so far they only do software for iPhone and iPad, but the laptops and netbooks in the pipeline here is the website. Oh, okay, there's laptops and netbooks in the pipeline. I gotcha. The website is ihoundsoftware.com. So we got preyproject.com and ihoundsoftware.com. It's the letter I, houndsoftware.com. Thank you, Peter. I haven't checked those links out yet, but you guys let me know how they are. That's it for the emails for today. I do have a voicemail. And I got a voicemail from, let me just read this number, because if this person is listening, I really need them to call back again. It was a really soft voicemail. It didn't come through too good. And the area code starts with 808. So if you called in the show, your area code's 828, and you left about a 3-minute voicemail. I can't play it because there's too many areas where it's just too soft. The talking's too soft. So maybe call in from a different line, or you could just log into Skype and Skype us at Podnuts Daily and leave a voice message that way. That would be awesome. I do appreciate the calls. If anybody wants to call in for the show, the number is 610-624-1689, I believe, if I remember correctly. I haven't said that number in a long time.
Hey, Steve, I know this because I live there, but that's a Hawaii area code.
Hawaii? Oh.
I only know because I lived there for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, so if you're living in Hawaii and you called, you got to know who you are. Just call me back and definitely leave the same information in the voicemail. I picked up a couple things here and there. I heard LimeWire mentioned in the call. I'm anxious to hear what you have to say, and that'd be great. When did you live in Hawaii?
When I was in the Air Force, mid-90s.
Yeah, how is it there? Beautiful?
Yes.
Breathtaking?
I would love to go back.
Really? Why? What's it like?
Well, you know, we live anywhere you go, the beaches are beautiful. Most of the people are nice. Just the, you know, Maui, the Big Island, all the cities are nice. You know, Honolulu is a big city, but it's fairly clean. You know, the traffic's not too bad. I just love everything about it.
Really?
You know, the only thing, you know, I didn't want to leave when we lived there. My wife wanted to move to come back to Louisiana.
Right.
But I would have loved to have stayed.
Really?
You know, with kids, I wouldn't go with kids. The school system this is only secondhand. The school system, you know, could be better for what people told me.
Right.
You know, it could have improved in the past 15 years. I have no idea, but.
Interesting. Yeah, it's a place that I would love to visit and check out at some point.
Oh, I loved it. I would, you know, every year we talk about going back for vacation, but I'm waiting for my girls to be a little bit older so they can really enjoy it when they go back.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. Well, let me know if you do ever move out there. I got to come visit you.
Yeah. It would be more of retirement than
Okay. It's going to be a while then.
Oh, yeah. And I miss it. I mean, I say I love it. That's one of the few places I would actually love to go back to.
Really? You know, I'm a Lost fan. I used to watch Lost, and it's all filmed in Hawaii, so you get to see some of the views there. And I don't know if it's a full representation of what Hawaii is, but it just looks like an awesome place. Gotta check it out.
It is.
All right, Matt, anything you'd like to close out on? Anything you want to plug? We're going to end off the show here, so.
Nothing I want to plug, but I do want to let people know. I see some people talking about TechNet in the forums.
Yes.
And what the difference is between standard and professional.
Okay.
One important thing that's different, if you wanted to learn the server stuff, small business server does not come with standard.
Uh-huh.
Small business server only comes with professional.
So small business server does not. But what about, like, is there just Windows server? Or is it?
There is server. Server comes with standard as well as Exchange standard.
Right.
But, you know, it's still a little different than small business server. You manage it differently, and for a small business, it's cheaper for licensing to get the small business server.
Gotcha.
So, you know, it's managed, you know, the management is different because they have certain wizards that they want you to use a small business server. You know, you might use server in a larger environment so you can scale and have multiple servers. Small business server wants to be the only server.
Oh, man, this is good to know.
So if you wanted to learn small business server, which is good for a small company up to 75 users, that does not come with standard.
Wow, good tip. Take that in if anybody's considering TechNet for that reason. Well, Matt, thanks very much for joining us on the show today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And thank you, everybody, for listening, watching, joining us live. I do have an episode I recorded with Timster on Friday that I'm going to release tonight. So we have a little bonus episode in there to add into the week. So that's going to be it for Podnuts Daily tonight. If you guys are watching us live, stay tuned. We're going to do Linux for the Rest of Us at around 8:30 tonight. So that ought to be fun. And that's going to be it. I'll see everybody next time. Music for Podnuts Daily has been provided by Evan King at purevolume.com/EvanKing.